story. I mean, I'm sitting here today. It's the 24th of March 2026, and I just looked at a video where one of the most experts on nuclear weapons was giving a long, detailed, very, very technical and exact description of what happens, because he said that let this go to the record. He almost predicts that Israel would use nuclear weapons on Iran. So, however the world looks like when this is heard or read, I don't know. But in my story, this is a chapter or optional part of the storyline based on that very, as it seems, real possibility. And he said that Iran can, in not that long time, in their underground protected shelters, produce atomic bombs, 10 or 15 or so. Not high yield, but if they throw three of those over Tel Aviv, then, well, he described what would happen, and I will save that video, because what I wanted to do here, and he did it that way as well, he explained it down on the ground, how people will experience it. So maybe there is a warning, and the people know that in 5 minutes or so, a nuclear bomb will fall over a city, and some try to escape, but you can't get very far. And so then we are in a house where we have a family sitting there. Father, mother, children, grown up, teenagers, something like that. And the father or the mother, whatever, I'm using a little bit our situation, the one I'm in as basis for characters here. When they all know, he is saying that, look, we got it wrong. There is nothing to fear. I would even say on the contrary, and that's why I have almost begged you to read the Bhagavad Gita and all those, and the book I wrote. This is a book someone wrote. There's so many reports, near-death experiences, right? And they all tell us when they come back that leaving this world It's no problem. It's a quick just moving out of this body and this realm and coming to a much more real world where we are still together. So there's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, and even these atomic bombs make it quick. It's just almost instant. Burning up. We probably won't even have time to feel anything. And then we are in a much nicer world. And we are together. More real together than we are here. So he's sitting there, and well, it could be, you know, when they're in an airplane that is about to crash, and it's very, very real, the possibility that they will all, you know, be so-called dead in a few minutes. And he's talking like that. It could be any situation. People are talking to each other. And then those who come with, who have that knowledge, that understanding, the real knowledge about life and death and the world and other worlds and all that, they just become guides, angels on earth, just helping him. And oops, now we left, look. It was just as I said, and the others, they go, wow. I thought you were just crazy, religious, New Ager or something. And then we follow them. In other words, we make these scenes from in the story, an actual nuclear attack happening, you know, in a country like Iran, Israel, at this time and age. Because, and I think it's important, because people may tend to think today that this can't happen, it won't happen, it just, no, impossible. But it has happened 2 times already. So it can happen again. And when it happened those 2 times, this is what happened. Many people, who, you know, again, back to this expert, what he said, you know, within that much, a kilometer, or they will be burned to crisp immediately and they're gone. And even in the shelters, people underground, they will be suffocated by carbon dioxide and poisonous gases and heat. The entire city, I mean, he took Tel Aviv as an example, even by low yield, three low yield bombs like that will be burning. And when everything has burnt up that can burn, and there's all only concrete and rock and sand, much of it probably turned into glass. Then the streets and the buildings and everything will be super hot for a long time. So there we have that scenery, which I could almost, I mean, he practically showed pictures of it. And we make that scenery and we can have these people, you know, a million or two or more people. He said, you know, millions of people will be dead. So we will have people walking around there in that city. And now they're outside of their physical bodies, which are just, they don't exist anymore. And it was quick, and people just are looking at each other and that, and say, oh, my goodness, what have we done, we humans? But since they are the innocent ones, they got it much better now. So in a way, it was a kind of sacrifice, a purification of their souls. They had to be sacrificed. You know, I mean, seriously, can put something like this in the story, because I believe that, you know, when they made, maybe they still make it somewhere, human sacrifices or animal sacrifices, that sometimes these humans, they were even volunteers, because by giving your life to a good cause or something like that, then, yes, you were doing a sacrifice, you were atoning, you burnt up bad karma. Just like, you know, when you made a crime, then by taking a punishment, you are freed from the sins of that crime. Something like that. I mean, we can really bring in that dimension in it. And yes, they are freed from this shadow, ugly world that the humans have created. And they are now in a higher world, a nicer world. First of all, but simply walking around there and being free from the suffering on that this earthly world. But then they go meet their ancestors, to meet the families, meet there, and they're happy. That feels like a dream now, this earthly life. They speak like that, so we show this. But those who did this, those who are responsible for this, who pushed the button, who caused the deaths of millions of people by that single push of a button, they will of course also die. But they will go to hell, because they are now deserving to feel all the suffering that they have caused. This is how it works. So they are there facing Yamaraj, and we can just tell the story.